Well, State Representative Bo LaFave is with us, and how you doing, Bo?
Very well, heading home.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of work to do down there. Well, we'll talk about a couple things. First of all, the federal money that has been approved and has not yet been allocated, the House has moved on that. Explain your vote on that. The governor says you're holding up this money, holding it hostage pretty much, in order to undercut her ability to save lives during a pandemic. What do you say about that?
Well, what we're trying to do is stop the governor from absolutely murdering our economy. And suicide rates for our students that haven't been able to go to school are 10 times higher than their COVID mortality rate. In areas where in-person learning is not allowed. Now, we've been doing that in the UP, but the governor wants to keep schools shut down and wants us to pay money to the schools that are shut down to projects and all these other things, not tied to anything to do with COVID. So we're not going to do that. If we're going to put money into public education, which we absolutely should, our students should be able to get an adequate public education.
What do you think is going to happen? Is she going to have to sign this in order, or is that money just going to sit there forever because she doesn't want to give up any power?
Well, what she's going to do is probably line item veto about a third of the money for schools because one third of it was tied to in-person learning. So if you're an Upper Peninsula school teacher who is working hard every day, as I know all of them are, and having students in class, at least in a hybrid model, the governor just cut a third of the funding that would have went to your school because she doesn't think you guys should be open. It's foolish. But she'll sign two-thirds of it. It'll be a good amount of increase for our schools who do desperately need it. I just wish they got the whole increase and would let our students go at least 20 hours a week of schooling. That's all we're asking for, 20 hours a week in person, but she's probably going to veto that.
All right. What about the situation with former Director Gray at the unemployment agency, as well as Director Gordon from Health and Human Services? She literally will not say why they resigned, or some suspect fired.
Yeah.
And then we find out that they got nice payouts. Is this hush money?
Well, I mean, it is definitionally hush money. It was $400,000 of your hard-earned tax dollars given to three people. The unemployment director, which, as we all know, unemployment's a disaster. My staff has handled over 5,000 cases so far in the last year because they couldn't get a hold of the governor's office. She's also got the director Gordon from DHHS that was doing all the rules. He quit, allegedly, the day after he opened up restaurants for 25% capacity for the first time in months, and his assistant resigned the same day. And in exchange, they got a total of $400,000 and an agreement legally binding them to keep their mouth shut. So I suspect they had some negative things to say about the governor, and she used your tax dollars to help her own political reputation.
Okay, so why can't you FOIA all of this?
The governor is not subject to FOIA. So I just introduced a bill today that would subject her to it. We need to get to the bottom of this. It's taxpayers' dollars. We deserve to know what we just spent it on.
This legislation has been suggested in the past, has it not?
It has, yes. This, I think, is the eighth term in a row we've tried to move it. Not me, obviously. It's not my eighth term, but other members in the legislature.
Any chance it gets approved this time, or is she just going to stonewall?
Well, there's a bipartisan group of lawmakers, including myself and other good Democrats and Republicans from across the state of Michigan. I believe we'll have well more than a two-thirds majority to override the veto if she decides that she would like to be overridden and not just sign it. Okay.
All right, what about the Michigan National Guard? They've been in Washington for a couple months now, and you've objected to that, them still being there, and now we find out they've been eating nasty food. What's up with that?
Yeah, it turns out that the Biden administration purchased a terrible contract for our poor folks out there protecting D.C. From what, I'm not exactly sure, but they were supposed to be getting $75 per day for, you know, so they could get some real good food, and instead they got this nasty, chicken that's red on the inside, mold growing on bread. It certainly was no exaggeration, the pictures that I saw, that this was unacceptable. So we're going to have a resolution before the Committee on Military, Vet, and Homeland Security on Wednesday at 10:30 a.m. that would call on the Biden administration to give them their back pay of the $75 they should have gotten in the first place.
Now, who's going to be held responsible? I remember when former Governor Snyder took a lot of heat and had took responsibility when Aramark, with their nasty food in the prison system, you remember that. And the Democrats were rightly upset about that, and things changed. Well, who's going to hold people responsible for this nasty food that our troops got in Washington?
Well, you know, I'm always one to give the governor credit when it's due. This one wasn't her fault, unless you want to say that she shouldn't have had them there in the first place after, we secured the inauguration. I believe they should have came home after that. But if you don't disagree with sending them in the first place, it's actually not Whitmer's fault. This is definitely the federal government's mistake, trying to cut corners on something you probably shouldn't try to cut a corner on.